Showtime. Welcome to the BS Show. I am Bob Sansevier. I have my only draft tonight. Actually, it's an auction. I am joined by my daughter producer, Sam.
Hello.
Sup?
Not much.
How are you?
Good.
Look good. Looking good today.
Okay, that's gross. Don't do that.
With your head up in a little thing.
That's gross.
What do you call that? That's not a pony.
I have my hair in a bun.
Because it's like a ponytail on top of your head.
It's a bun.
That's a bun. Sam is here. Kevin Cusick's here. Jeff O'Brien's here. Business and leisure attorney, who set up, by the way, our guest today is going to be Ed White. Probably in the top five, maybe the top two of people who belong, maybe one, mm-hmm. belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we're going to get into that. First, I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard and the Tom Bernard Network for inviting us to be part of the network a year ago last month. If you'd like to chime in, 612-313-0289. Would like to thank our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, always seeking justice for the injured. MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com is the way to reach out to them. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System. Just Smart Start MN will get you help if you have a DUI, get you back on the road. MyPillow.com, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team. Thomas Brand Homes, Frontiersman, 5% off a used gun. Mention the BS Show when you walk in. We're joined, as I mentioned, by Kevin Cusick, the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the Loop Now. It's sort of all in one. Mm-hmm. But you can find them at those places. Business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, psychic Ruth Lorden will join us. And let me start out by asking, Kevin, did you guys have the story yet?
Well, first, I just like the fact that before you mention anything else about the show and your guests or
anything,
you announce you have your auction set. I'm excited.
I have gone from a high of six fantasy football teams to one. And it's I've been in it, seems like 30 years or close to it. It's Randy Shaver's League, which I have won once. I actually have to go home.
One out of 20?
One out of 20 or 30. I've been in the finals a couple of times. But it's a 20-team league, which is a killer. And because if you misstep on, you could win this league with one or two guys, which I plan to do again. But I was wanting to go from here, maybe catch an afternoon movie, and then head over to the draft, which is in Plymouth. But I forgot the day last year, at last year's draft, they have a trophy that the winner from the previous year gets. I got it, put it in a corner of my house, and I forgot about it. And now I have to go and get it because I forgot to get it this morning. So I have to actually go home and bring the trophy to the guy who won this
past year.
Luckily,
you live right just outside of town.
Yeah. So that's like another 2-hour trip here. All right, here's my strategy. Tell me what you think. 20-team league. And we have a lot of people play fantasy football. Sam, you ever going to play fantasy football?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
You got brothers now playing football. One of your brothers.
You put your hair in a bun. That's the first
step for
fantasy football.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say never. I don't really mind either way, but right now it's not a passion of mine.
Well, in a 20-team league, like I said, it gets diluted very quickly. Don't care about running backs. I want to load up on receivers because you get bonus points for every reception. You don't get bonus points for every carry. And I think you have a chance that you could be talking in the case of some of the elite receivers. That's another 250 points a year or another, or 100. I think it's a point per reception. So still, it's more than 100 points more.
It's what they call in this business a PPR league.
Yeah, PPR league.
And in those leagues, the receivers ends up being overvalued compared to all the other positions.
I don't even care. I don't even care if I have a starting back. I want the third down back, the guy who's going to go out for the swing pass.
Theoretic would be a great pick. 80,
he'd be terrific.
80 of the quietest receptions in the history.
He would be great. As a matter of fact, I think Stafford's going to have a big year. Marvin Jones is going to be his go-to guy, not Golden Tate.
See, my draft is Friday.
Do you do this, Jeff? Do you play?
I'm retired on it. I used to do it. Just ran out of time. Too many things.
Well, that's why I went down to one.
He's so busy with the business of leisure.
Someone's got to visit all those brewery clients.
He's busy with the business of leisure. It's true.
But my strategy is very simple. It's been saying no. I won the toilet bowl playoffs last year to finish ninth out of 12 in our league, which got me the number one pick. Which in our keeper league, number one pick's obviously going to be Zeke Elliott. The drop off.
Did you have the draft already?
No, it's Friday.
Okay, that's right. You just said that. Okay.
The best available player
after Elliott
in our league is LeSean McCoy.
That's not terrible.
Then Brandon Cooks. Then Sammy Watkins. Those are the top four guys available. Everyone is taken because normally in a league you have one or two dominant
teams. Are you a PPR
guy
too?
No, that can only protect four guys, and they've got like seven or eight good guys. Our league has been so even recently that basically everyone had like four good guys. So it means there's no guys really dropping. Well, so I've had multiple offers. I had one guy offer me a 3-for-1 on just for the number one.
You'd be crazy not to take Elliott.
No, I'm going to take
Elliott. But then you take some of his he's got some pretty good backups down there in Dallas, too.
But they've got the great offensive line. But here's the thing. I had the number one pick 3 years ago, and I traded out of it. I traded down to the number two slot because one of the guys in our league desperately wanted Trent Richardson.
Oh, my God.
Okay? So I got DeMarco Murray and the number two pick for the number one, and then with the number two pick, I took Andrew Luck. So I got Luck and Murray for Trent Richardson.
So you have Luck as your quarterback,
which is my
right now.
Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio thing. But because I made that trade, everyone thinks I'm hot to trade the number one. But this year, the cupboard is so bare that the number two pick is probably going to be Derrick Henry at Tennessee, just because he's a rookie and has the potential of maybe starting there ahead of DeMarco Murray. And then there's like three or four rookie receivers that everyone's hot on, including the Vikings, Laquon Treadwell, that may go first rounds in our league also.
Now, do you have good receivers right now as it stands?
No, I protected four players, and I protected the same four last year. I've got Julio Jones. I've got Eddie Lacy, who's thinner.
Well, that's the best thing you can say about him.
C.J. Anderson and DeMarco Murray. So I'm very running back heavy. So I'm taking Elliott with the first pick, and then the second pick, which is going to be number 13, is going to be the best available wide receiver, which is not going to be any great
shakes.
So we're going to be pretty weak, but we're not PPR, so it's not that
but
bad.
But don't forget, when it because other guys are going to be downgrading him, don't forget to about Josh Gordon, who'll miss the first
That's,
4 weeks.
We've got to see where he lands. The big question for us is going to be who's our quarterback, because I protected neither Matthew Stafford or Tyrod Taylor. I'm more than willing to go into the season with either of them, but just the way the draft's going to go, our opponents are going to determine who our quarterback is. And I assume someone's going to take Taylor, probably.
How did this team, by the way, the Cowboys, wind up with Alfred Morris? Did they acquire him before the draft? Because he's a pretty good running back.
Oh, he's Dallas is looking pretty good because, of course, they have the hottest guy of preseason also, Dak Prescott, who's going to win MVP this year, apparently, based on his two exhibition games.
Yeah, that happens a lot when the exhibition
Dallas games. All of a sudden has this depth at quarterback and at running back that they haven't had, and they've always had the great offensive line.
They have great depth at running back.
So Dallas, in terms of teams that are going to make a turnaround this year, they're pretty much near the top of the list.
And now, Tony Romo is a guy who somewhat scares me because we do team quarterbacks. But I do have 20 quarterbacks that if I pay a buck for one, I would be happy with. Because these are guys, all of them will get either 4,000-plus yards or right around 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, if you don't have one of the top two or three guys, Newton,
there's not that much
Rogers,
difference in them.
It's a big pack of adequate guys. That's why you should spend your picks.
Now, we are talking because a lot of people receivers. Play it. So we are going to talk. We're just talking a little bit about it. But the guy that is – I'm sure that he will be there if I have the last pick of the 20 is Jameis Winston. Because he threw for 4,000 yards and had, 24 touchdowns?
He was actually protected in our league, which I was surprised
well,
by.
But, I mean, he had a good rookie season.
He's ranked somewhere in the 100, 110 range.
But if I got him, I wouldn't feel bad. But he'll but so will. Here, let me.
Do
give
you get extra points for bail?
Well,
sorry, makes bail.
That's the problem. Well, let me give you these guys and tell me what you think. If I'm looking at, and I likely will be him, right? Could be looking at the Denver situation. Could be looking at
Trevor Siemian, Northwestern.
But could be looking at your guy.
Could be the first Northwestern quarterback to start opening day since Otto Graham.
I'm sick of hearing that stat. And then there's the other one that could be Houston could be there too. That their quarterback situation. They got DeAndre. I mean, that's a pretty good receiver. I can see you're like it looks
Houston's
like he tasted
Osweiler,
something.
Right?
Yeah, Brock Osweiler. But Atlanta likely will be there because he has such a bad year. But he did throw for 4,000 yards. He just didn't have many touchdowns.
I think Atlanta's going to be turning around this year. They've kind of bottomed out.
I'd be very happy with them.
They'll be on the rise.
I'd be very happy to wind up with Matt Ryan if I'm spending a buck. He used to be considered
one of the elite.
Yes, but not anymore.
And, of course, one guy who's never considered the elite but always puts up the numbers, Eli Manning.
Yeah, you can
get Eli Manning way down in your draft in the middle.
Well, I actually paid decent money for him last year. You know who else is never thought of, and he puts up good numbers, although his touchdowns were down last year? Matthew Stafford. I don't care if he lost his best. Marvin Jones is going to be a top receiver.
Here's
for
my
him.
Matthew Stafford stat. The last eight games of last year, I think it was 19 TDs, 2 interceptions.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
All right, you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we will get or be joined by one of the okay, let me ask you both of you. Now Jeff, is that a client of yours?
No, just a friend.
All right. Who else? Well, you can go to the Vikings and say, yeah, Chuck Foreman deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And Jim Marshall deserves to be in. Ed White, though, absolutely deserves to be in. Around when you go around the horn of players who were contemporaries of these guys, played in the 70s, and are not in the Hall of Fame, I'm sort of at a loss to come up with other names because I don't follow it as closely who's not in, who should be. But those three you could make a case for. And honestly, of the three, and a lot of people would dispute this, Marshall would be my third choice of those three. Because I think Chuck does belong, and I think Ed White belongs.
Agree.
And I think Marshall does. But
Marshall was always, at best, the third best lineman on his own team.
Yes.
Yeah. I think, and we'll talk to Ed, I think that Ed's career in playing at a high level with two different teams in two different conferences over a long period of time. I mean, you know, much is made about how
15
long.
15 years.
Yeah, Mick, you know, Tinglehoff played from, what, 62 to 79. Ed went from 69 to 85. So you're talking about a long time in a grinding position.
Here's a key question, because surprisingly, when I looked, he only made 4 Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. Who were the other guards in the NFL? I mean, Hannah was over on the AFC. Mm-hmm. Who were the guards in the...
The AFC had... One of the things that keeps Ed White out of the Hall of Fame is that was like the golden era of offensive line. When you look at all the Hall of Famers, you said John Hannah,
well, actually,
Larry Little, yes. Jim Langer, Willie Upshaw... Gene Upshaw, Art Shell.
Yes, but these were AFC guys. Who in the NFC... The Cowboys had to have a hell of a... You know, some really good guards because they had some really good teams.
They had Raphael Wright was a tackle. I remember the Rams had
but who was keeping him off the Pro Bowl? That's what I'm trying to figure out. That he only made 4 in that period of time. We'll ask him.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, you know
but
what?
He did finish first, though, in the first and last
arm wrestling
championship.
I actually looked it up today. Do you remember who he beat?
Wasn't Studwell, was it?
I believe he beat
Julius
Adams,
wasn't it?
I believe he was a Hall of Famer.
Who?
Another of the great ones. Joe DeLaMalur.
I thought it was Julius Adams from the Patriots.
Joe DeLaMalur. And according to the website I saw today. And I think he's in the Hall of Fame. But if not,
he is.
He is, yeah. Because he's another of those great linemen from the 70s.
Well, he had the benefit of blocking for O.J. Simpson before Simpson went wacky.
No, Simpson had the benefit of running behind Joe DeLaMalur.
He was pretty good running back. Say what you want about him as a murderer, but he could run the ball. We'll take a quick break. That just sounded so bad.
He was a great guy until he started dabbling in homicide.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now. Business and Leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. When we return, thanks to Jeff, he set this up, we'll be talking to Hall of Famer should be, not wannabe, should be, Ed White. We'll be right back. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's Minnesota PersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to SmartStartMN.com. That's SmartStartMN.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Are you looking to buy your first home? Are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com. Or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300. And contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. We are back. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the Loop Now, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. He of the no fantasy football teams anymore.
Retired fantasy
football. You retired
football.
From that?
I won my league and I retired.
Well, that's how you should do it.
Go out on top.
That's when I gave up skiing. I made it down an expert hill one day, and I said at Spirit Mountain Duluth, it was snowing heavily. And I made it down the expert hill, and I said, you know, that's a good time to retire before I've injured myself.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. We are joined now by a guy that, let me just tell you a quick story that Chuck Foreman said the day that our guest was traded, he broke down in tears because he lost his favorite lineman, Ed White, who, and Chuck, do you stay in touch with Chuck at all, Ed, because he thinks the world of you.
I do. Chuck, every time I come to town, I get a call from Chuck.
Well, you'll be getting a call this weekend because on Saturday, 2 to 3:30, you will be at Joe Sensor's in Roseville for a signing hosted by AIM Sports. More information, aimsports.net. And I know that Jeff O'Brien is excited for you to come into town. And, you know, Ed, I actually, it's amazing to me, and we were talking about it, why you're not one of the guys that's in the Hall of Fame. I don't understand how they didn't put you in when you had the window as a regular inductee, and now that you're in, you know, would be part of the senior selection committee. It's just a matter of time, but who knows how much time.
Yeah. Mine's running out, but no.
No, it's not.
Any time that something's out of your hands, you know, I try not to think about it too much, and I've got a lot of friends and people that are upset about it and trying to make it happen. I would love for it to happen. It's a judgment call. Not a lot of people really watch the offensive line. I know that surprises you guys, but most of the people are watching the quarterback, receivers, running back, big defensive plays, and aren't really focusing on, you know, how well an offensive lineman does in the course of a day's work. So I think it's a little hard just in terms of, of judging. And the Pro Bowl is kind of what was for a long time a popularity deal. And if, you know, you weren't liked around the league, you know, a lot of times, unless you really stood out from amongst the crowd, you got passed over for the Pro Bowl even. And so You know, it's a choice that other people make and can't worry about it too much.
But, you know, Ed, you did stand out with both the Vikings and San Diego. Who was making the Pro Bowl from the NFC at guard? Because you made it 4 years, which I was actually shocked it wasn't more years from that. So clearly there was something going on. But who was going? Was it somebody from the Cowboys? I'm trying to think of the good teams in the 70s and into the 80s that would have been making it.
Early on, Blaine Nye.
From the Cowboys, yeah.
John Nyland, yeah, from the Cowboys.
Okay.
Conrad Dobler was there.
The infamous.
I remember Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
Conrad and I actually were in the same high school league, believe it or not. He's a lot younger. But
was he dirty then?
My brother. 29 pumps. You know, I don't think so. I think he was a little undersized at that point. And I don't think so.
Now, okay, so then when you went over to the AFC, was Hannah still playing when you went to San Diego?
Yes, John was playing, and Joe DeLamalur.
Okay, so two Hall of Famers.
Those guys are in the Hall. So, they're in the Hall. And, you know, Doug Wilkerson on the Chargers was also a very good guard at that time. Gene Upshaw, who I didn't think was that good a guard, but he's, of course, in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, there's a lot of good players. And, you know, there's a lot of good players like me that, you know, there's a case for being in, and then other people have a better case for somebody else. I think Jerry Kramer. I think Jerry Kramer was probably a pretty darn good guard. I didn't get to see him in his heyday, but Jerry Kramer, the guard from the Miami Dolphins, Bob Kuchenberg.
Yep.
He was a pretty good guard, too. So,
it is amazing to think that Jerry Kramer, as high profile as he has been since his retirement, that he has not found his way into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and who knows why. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I saw him at the end of his career, and, you know, that's not fair to judge a guy when he's 36 or 7 years old. But, you know, I don't know. You know, who knows? I know it has a lot to do with the fans and the fan support, you know, the teams. And I know, you know, when I had to make a decision to you know, keep up with you know, what salaries were making for guys that were playing at my level, and I had to leave the family of the Vikings, which it was after 9 years. It was a pretty close-knit family. We spent a month and a half together in training camp, and then, you know, the length of a season. So, and we became very, very good friends, to the point where we would always do something together, even on our days off. We'd go hunting somewhere, or, you know, Dave Osborne would take us all to Can-Do, and we'd hunt geese and birds and excuse me.
Well, you know,
so, anyway, so it was difficult. It was a difficult move, and I think it upset management on the Viking end, too. So I don't think that helps.
Well, now, Ed, I don't know, and I have not done the research, but I'd be surprised if any offensive line coach put 4 and should be 5 linemen into the Hall of Fame, because John Michaels did. Yari and Tinglehoff and Randall McDaniel and you know, and Gary Zimmerman, and you should be in. I mean, he did a hell of a job. I mean, several of you did go on to other teams, or a few of you,
John,
did, you and Zimmerman. But he did a great job with you guys.
Yeah, John, well, I had not played guard, to tell you how good a job he did. I was a defensive tackle in college. So John completely... was responsible for my initial ability to play that position, and he was hard, and but, you know, he was fair, and he got the most out of his players. I know that, and you know, so my hat's off to him. And I had John for 9 years, which is a full career anywhere this day and age, 3 times the average. So. You know, I really have a lot of respect for John as a coach and a friend.
Now, you also, I mean, you had the benefit of you played with Fran Tarkenton and you played with Dan Fouts, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, you had some pretty good quarterbacks, and you had some decent running backs, too, that you blocked for.
Well, exactly. I mean, Chuck Foreman, Chuck Muncy, James Brooks, Lionel James, you know, it's Dave Osborne. You know, it. The fact that I played with such a strong nucleus in Minnesota, Bud's philosophy, of course, was to keep them together. He'd fire one guy a year, and everybody had worked their fannies off thinking they were going to be the guy to get fired. But he held the team together. Eventually, in fact, right around the time that I left, it wasn't because I left, certainly. It was because I think I was still probably one of the youngest guys on the team at that time, at 39 years, or not 39, but 30 years old. I think it was 30. And I still was one of the youngest guys on the team. And then, you know, so he held the nucleus together, and everybody got old, really old at one time, and it was hard to replace everybody. And, But that to go from there and Bud, you know, one of the greatest coaches, to San Diego and play with a bunch of young guys that were stars that were just starting to come into their own, and to land there and to be all of a sudden, you know, I'm looked upon as Jim Marshall, the elder statesman, and it was a complete role change for me, and I enjoyed that. It was difficult leaving Minnesota. And I missed Minnesota for a long, long time, and still do. And but you know, it was a wonderful experience and a very fortunate.
In NFL history you were on in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, I went from one of the great defensive teams to one of the great offensive teams.
I want to ask you about one particular stretch, two of the most memorable games in NFL history you played in, and they were back to back weeks. 1981, you had the. The epic in Miami in 100 degree heat index or whatever it was there. The Kellen Winslow game, as it's called. And then the following week, the coldest game in NFL history, a championship game in Cincinnati. What was that like?
Well, it was too much. And we were – and you know, I'm not saying because, you know, it was Cincinnati, but we were a much better football team. We had – it was so talented. It was incredible because the defense had just started with Gary Johnson and Fred Dean and Louis Kelcher, and the defense was really playing at a peak. And so it was a team, you know, it was a complete team. And we had to travel to Miami, which was crazy. And it was over the Christmas holiday, as I recall, or New Year's. I think it was New Year's holiday. And so we played that game. You know, like five quarters, whatever it was exhausting. And to have to get on a plane and fly all the way across country again and get ready for another game, which was, you know, the wind chill was minus 80 below. Somebody died in the stands. I mean, it was crazy. Freezer bowl. Yeah, it was the ice bowl. And it was colder than, you know, people don't believe it, but it was the coldest game I ever played in all the years in Minnesota. You know, there was nothing like that. And so we were, you know, I realized what the advantage that we had outdoors in Minnesota at the Met, because the trainer, the equipment man was going crazy, like, oh, let's wear scuba. You know, we were all thinking about how to stay warm during a game instead of the game itself. And so, you know, that was unfortunate that Minnesota has to go inside to, you know, to keep up with the league in terms of all the things they offer. But that was a big advantage, being able to play the playoff games back there in the wintertime. Huge.
Now, we're talking to Ed White. Ned, I wanted to – you're going to be at Joe Sensor's Rose in Roseville, 2 to 2:30 Saturday for a signing. AimSports.net if you want more information. What happened? I mean, they have a lot of guys who played for the team and they're putting their art in there, but you are an accomplished artist and you've been one for years. Go to EdWhiteArt.com and you can see for yourself. But did you just fall through the cracks and they didn't think, hey, you know, Ed White used to play for us. He's a hell of an artist. Do you think that's what happened? Because you spent the latter part of your career in San Diego. The Vikings never even thought, let's see what Ed White might want to do for the new stadium. Because they do have Viking, you know, former players with artwork in the stadium. And are they rectifying that now that they know you would be interested?
Well, I was interested before. And, you know, I was under the impression that the guys were making a certain amount for their artwork, And I wasn't really dealing with a team. I was dealing with an agent that I think got things kind of sideways. And, you know, she had me doing a piece that was 8 feet by 4 feet.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, that takes a lot of time to do an 8 foot by 4 foot
painting. That's like a Salvador Dali work.
Yeah, on steroids. And so, you know, I think that the bid that I gave him to do a painting like that was just probably out of the budget for artwork. But I'm hoping that, you know, it's a big stadium, and there's got to be some other places to show some work. And, you know, I feel like if I get another chance, we'll probably be able to figure this thing out.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, what's impressive, because I'm looking at your website now, is, I mean, you do pen and ink, you do abstract, you do color portraits, and not a lot of artists also do bronze figures.
You're right.
Or sculptures,
well,
excuse
me. Yeah, I've been doing bronze for, well, since I had my knee blown out in my last Pro Bowl, which was, I don't know, gosh, I can't, 80, 78, I think. No, 80, don't let me show you my CTE right now. Anyway, it was sometime in the 80s, and I was going crazy, and because I was in a hip cast for a long time, and so I started doing some clay, and then it got me into doing the bronze. So I've done San Diego State's Hall of Fame piece for 20 years, over 20 years. I've done the Charger piece for over 10 years, and I do USD, which is another college. So I'm doing all the major sports teams in San Diego, and have been for a long time, their Hall of Fame pieces each year. So that's been a fun thing. But now I'm set up to do painting, and I've been doing more painting. Kind of, painting is kind of like writing. It's kind of it's my journey. And that's why I visit so many venues, from, you know, sports to whatever. And I just try to paint whatever I feel like that day, and then record it and move on to the next thing. And actually, my newer stuff's on edwhiteabstracts.com.
Okay.
If people want to take a look. And, you know, just I basically am not really even that concerned about selling stuff, more or less just showing people where I'm at and where I've been.
I mean, it's stuff. People should go then to edwhiteabstracts.com. Abstract with an S, abstracts, or abstract?
Abstracts, S, yes,
okay,
abstracts.
.com or edwhiteart. I'm on edwhiteart.com, and that bronze sculpture you have on your homepage, who is that?
That's an Aztec head. That is San Diego State's Hall of Fame piece.
Oh, it's really, it's very, very nice.
Thank you, guys.
His paintings are gorgeous. I have the, you know, I met Ed through Facebook. I connected with him there, and I have the privilege of being part of his Facebook group. So every time he paints something, he puts it up, a picture of it up on his Facebook group. And he's done some really cool stuff. I particularly like, there was a few months ago, Ed, where you were listening to an album and then painting along to it, whatever inspired you. And he did
And
he did a great one for Prince and Purple Rain shortly after Prince's passing. It was really cool.
Right. Actually, a guy actually bought that in Montana. So that's somewhere in Montana. Thank you, Jeff.
This will send a lot of guys to your site on edwhiteart.com.
Right.
You go to the Go Figure. You know a lot of women that are well endowed.
Well, I live out in the mountains, and you know I've always been. I lived in the Rosemont when it was out in the woods, and I lived out in the woods, and I just, that's me. And so I live about an hour and a half outside of town in the mountains. And there's a lot of artists up here, and there's one artist in particular named James Hubble, who's a very renowned artist, and he puts together a life drawing class each week, and those are results of my last life drawing.
Okay,
and, you know, they're yeah.
But
so
they...
it's okay. It's just, it's not something I do a lot of, but I've done a little bit.
Well, there's nothing little bit about these paintings. Now, Ed, you will stay in town for the game, right? You'll be here Saturday and then go to the game on Sunday.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now,
I'm excited.
Do these guys invite you back when they have these, when they retire? So, and by the way, you should be on that list too for the Ring of Honor. You're not in the Ring of Honor,
thank
right?
You.
I don't believe you are.
No.
You should be.
No, I'm not.
Because you're part of their 50 greatest Vikings or 50th anniversary team.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think you're treated better?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Pardon?
Do you think you're treated better as an alumni by the Chargers than you've been by the Vikings? Do you think you're kind of forgotten here as opposed to that?
I think time heals, you know, and I think people understand that, you know, you got to, you know, I was making half of what All-Pro guard was making at that time. And so I had to fight for more. And, the only problem I had was with Mike Lynn. And I did not hit it off with him, and that didn't help either. And he offended me, and, you know, I just wanted to be treated fairly, and I hadn't been because I'd been representing myself. And, Jeff, you know how that goes.
Yep.
And so it didn't work out. And I think, I think people are realizing that, you know, I did it. For my family, because your time, I'd already played 8 years, and my time was running out, and I think at that time, I probably didn't have a good season my last year there, because, you know, when you think somebody is hosing you, you're not going to, you know, it's not anything I did consciously, but I didn't have my heart in it, you know, and so I think, you know, people realize the reasons why. I'd always been told that Bud was the first guy to hold out in the NFL in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was.
So I thought, well, Bud understands. If anybody would understand, it would be Bud. And so anyway, it hurt me, and it was hard on me as it was anybody, and my family. And if I could have worked it out, I'd still be out there in the country, running around on my snowmobile with Dave Osborne.
And now, Ed, Tommy Kramer was on with us last week, and Jeff set that up, and I was stunned. He told us what his rookie contract was. Jeff, $85,000 signing bonus that didn't kick in for like 5 years.
Yeah.
His base salary was $24,500, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
something
it went up like a $5,000. I was stunned. I was working at a newspaper at the time in New Jersey, and I was making $25,000 a year. So I was I was making more than the first round draft pick. It was unbelievable how you got screwed.
You had fewer interceptions though than Tom.
I did. But I'm amazed at how he got away with it, because nobody knew what the other teams were paying at the time.
It started with Jim Finks, who I loved, and that's part of the reason I ended up the way I ended up. But Jim had a philosophy of payroll integrity, is what he called it, and that is, if Mick Tinglehoff is making this much, you're going to make this much, and Ron Yeary is going to make that much, and I think he held to it. That philosophy changed, and I started at 19. So when you start at 19, and I was their first pick in the second round, and there wasn't a first round pick, and that's not a lot of money to pay out, and so it's hard to climb from there, and that's part of the problem, but. When it came to Mike Lynn, he told me things that weren't true. And Jeff Seaman, said, hey, that's not true. That is not true at all. And certain things that I don't need to get into. But
yeah.
He basically lied to me. And it was, you know, it didn't sit well. And so at that point, I just didn't think anything was going to happen, and you know that I needed to do what I did.
You went to San Diego? Ricky Young came here. Who else came with Ricky?
Correct.
Anyone, or was it a straight
no.
one up? It was one
it
for
was
one.
I think it was a straight one for one. Yeah.
Okay, because I wasn't sure on that.
Yeah.
And Kevin mentioned during one of the breaks, are you doing any age group arm wrestling? Because you were the NFL, you're the defending NFL champion, because they never had it again, right?
Yeah, I wrestled my grandson the other day.
So you're still doing it. Good to hear.
Who won?
Yeah.
Who won?
No, I don't dare. No, I don't dare do that.
Well,
I'm having enough trouble keeping my legs going.
Now, Kevin said it was DeLama Lear you beat in the finals. Is that right?
No, it was Julius Adams.
I got bad information from the internet.
I was right. I
knew,
got it.
Jeff
yeah,
said
England.
That because that's why I asked.
I got that information from an arm wrestling website.
No, I had it right.
Wow.
Kevin guessed Joe.
They
I said Julius.
There.
So
I beat like six guys in a total of 18 seconds.
Oh my God!
I just flashed them through. So
that's quick twitch.
It was quick, yeah. It was quick.
Well, did you face DeLama Lear in that heading to the final at all?
Or did, no, I never. I never went against Joe. No, I went against Derlin Moore, who was probably the strongest. Joe Klecko, he was strong too.
As the Jets, yep.
And then one of the Rams, I can't remember. One of the Ram defensive linemen, can't remember.
Was it all linemen that were in it?
Yeah.
D-R-O?
Offense and defensive line, yeah. It was open to everybody. There might have been a
linebacker. Yeah,
No kickers.
A linebacker, yeah.
No kickers or long snappers.
And Garo Yepremian.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to tell you, this was a lot of fun talking to you, and I want to repeat again for people. Saturday from 2 to 3:30 at Joe Sensor's in Roseville, Ed White will be there for signings, and if you want more information, go to amesports.net, and you can get more information about that. And people, also, you can go to edwhiteart.com and edwhiteabstracts.com to see some of the artwork that he's done. And if people were interested, they could contact you to, you know, if they're interested in some of your work, because it is available.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, too. And so, yeah. All right. Absolutely.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for making time for us. This has been a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed it. Jeff, thank you. I look forward to seeing both you guys if possible.
I'll be there. I'll look for you on Sunday. Before you go, though, and I'll tell this to Jeff, too. The people that are working with you, if they haven't already, the writer to contact for the Hall of Fame, because he has helped several seniors get in, he's on the committee, is Rick Goslin. You may know Rick, but he could be.
I know the name. Yeah.
He is the key guy to get whoever is working for you on the San Diego end and the Viking end. That's the guy that it has to feed through, because he is very influential and has a lot of respect on that senior committee.
All right.
So Rick Goslin from the Dallas paper is a guy that could be very and very helpful. And I know he knows you, because he certainly grew up watching you, or he was a young reporter when you were playing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, Ed, take care.
Okay, guys. Thanks, Bob. Thanks,
all right.
Jeff.
Take care.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Jeff O'Brien, for setting that up. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. Take a quick break. Come right back. We'll jibber-jabber a little bit about what's happening in the world, and we'll get Ruth Lorden on. Great guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's very nice.
He's a very nice man. And
I have the privilege of being able to chauffeur him for the Saturday. So he's for the game, for this appearance this Saturday. He's also doing an event. Besides the signing, he's doing an event for a nonprofit client of mine in the evening that does art. It's called Ars Bellum Foundation. They do art therapy for vets dealing with PTSD.
Oh,
Ed's going to do a little talk there and you know, talk to some of the guys that are going through their art therapy sessions too. So that I'm really looking forward to that too.
That's a great thing that they do. Now you have to get somebody from there on as a guest.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder Thomas Brand Homes, but what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847, or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota-made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer, and we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too. We're back. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, LegitNews.com at the Loop Now. Business and Leisure Attorney Jeff O'Brien. The great thing of, the great thing about breaks, you get to hear from some great clients, but also we talk and we, guys on the Vikings who should be getting Hall of Fame notice. Joey Browner was the best strong safety I ever saw.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no better hitter. And Jerry Burns said the guys that had the two best grips or hands on his on teams he'd been on were Alan Page and Joey Browner.
My list of 70s, 80s guys that belong in the Hall of Fame from the Vikings, we've talked about a lot of them. Ed White, of course.
Yep.
Jim Marshall, Chuck Foreman. I think there's a case to be made for Matt Blair and Joey Browner.
Blair would be at the – I mean, he was a good player, but I wouldn't have him high on as high as the other
Matt
guys.
Matt Blair, one of the things was he was such a great special teams player before he became an everyday linebacker. He was like the best special teams player in the NFL for a couple of years.
They changed the rules about running up on the kicks, I think, because of Matt being able to jump. I mean, there's great photos of Matt being up in the
air.
And
he was a hell of a player. I don't want to, you know, but when you list the other guys, they would be on my list ahead.
I list Matt in part. You see some of this. We were just talking in the break that, you know, the seniors committee voted in Kenny Easley. There are guys that get into the Hall of Fame that I think have questionable credentials compared to some of the guys that we watched that would argue had better careers than they did.
Well, the problem is though when they go around the horn a little bit, and obviously it's going to be years before Chuck or Marshall or any Viking is put
which
up.
Is why, which
Mick
is
Tinglehoff just got
yeah,
in.
Which is why I think Ed has the stronger case because normally, like you mentioned, Kevin, having being split between two teams, but in this case, this may help because we can maybe be able to get push from the Charger side more to get him in.
Well, it seems like there's been more of a push from the San Diego side recently than I know Dan Fouts
he's in there. He's in their ring of honor. I think that's the first step is to number one to get his artwork in the stadium, get him in the Vikings ring of honor, and acknowledge what he did here, and then join the push with San Diego to get him in the Hall.
He was in all four Super Bowls, and he does belong. I mean, there's two guys that to me are glaringly not in. Well, first of all, Browner's not in the ring of honor, is he?
Yes, he is.
He is. Okay.
Yep.
Then
he and Matt are both in.
Two glaring ones are Ed White and Keith Millard. Now, I'm a big Millard because I covered him through his career. His career was not long enough. He played, what, 5 or 6 years? Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute. He played more than that.
He played more than that.
Played 85 into the 90s.
He was, by the end, he was pretty slowed down.
Yeah. The chop block against the Buccaneers hurt him a lot.
He was done here by the time Denny. He played 1 year, I think, with Denny. So he played 6 years here, and then he played, what, a year in Seattle?
I think so.
So, but he didn't have... he didn't have, the longevity, but he did. There's no way that Chris Dolman gets the, 20, was it 21 the year? That's the year Millard had 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they both helped each other, but they were, just think about that.
There wasn't a lot of double teaming.
No, but I watched every day of practice, and you watch it and you don't appreciate it till later when you had four guys, two offensive linemen who are in the Hall of Fame, Randall McDaniel and Gary Zimmerman, going against Keith Millard and Chris Dolman. And three of those four are in the Hall of Fame. And Millard, for several seasons, was having a Hall of Fame caliber career.
Yeah, those late 80s teams when you had Millard and Henry Thomas and Chris Dolman was about as close as their – they've had great defensive lines, post-Purple People Eaters. But I think those guys together as a unit were as close as they've come to matching the intensity of the Purple People
Eaters. Well, and this is something I've I have not done the research, but off the top, if you guys can come up with a better one, I don't know that there's a group in the modern era of football, which started in the 50s, that you could come up with a team that has 50s and 60s better defensive linemen overall in a string of them than the Vikings have.
You think about Hall of Fame linemen, we talk about
Jared Allen has a shot at making it at some point.
John Randall, John Randall being in there too.
Randall's in the Hall of Fame.
He's dealing with Steelers. I'll throw the Steelers out there.
But the Steelers, name some that the offense or defensive linemen that were post-Super Bowl era for them.
Kevin Green just went in the Hall of Fame. James Harrison.
He didn't spend his whole career with them, though.
No, but...
Yeah, but I mean, he was... When I think of Kevin Green, I don't think just Steelers.
When I think of defensive linemen, I think
of Steelers. I also think of Kevin Green as a linebacker.
Yeah.
He was more of a 3-4 guy, wasn't he? As an outside linebacker?
Kind of an end, kind of.
But you're right, yeah, they've had different... Yeah, the people area, you had the Millard, Dolman, Thomas. You've got Randall. You've got the Williams Wall, Jared Allen. I mean, they, even up till now, I mean, they have... That has been a thing that they have... They've always had that. It's been a key.
And they did have... If Ed White makes it... That will be five, and it would be a complete set of five offensive linemen in the Hall of Fame. A guard or a center, two guards, and two tackles. That's pretty damn good.
You know, we didn't have time talking about it last week, but, you know, Tommy will tell you that, I mean, to him, the quarterback's best friend is a defensive line. Because he said, you know, he doesn't like to always start from his 20-yard line. He wants to have the turnover and start, or, you know, and start in you know, further down the field.
Midfield is a much better.
And you ask him, you know, he went from having the end of the era, the Purple People Eater era to, I mean, some of those lean years in the, you know, late in 79, early 80s, he had Mark Mullaney, Doug Martin, James Duck White, and Randy Holloway.
Yeah, he didn't have the creme de la creme of defensive
Holloway
line.
Was the number one pick, wasn't he?
I've had him tell a story where Duck White was, there were a game in Buffalo, and he was walking into the defensive huddle. He tripped on his shoelace and knocked them all over like bowling pins.
Well, Holloway was cut the day after he had, what, four or five sacks? Was it more than that? He set the team record for sacks, and I remember Les Steckel saying, well, they were open. He had a lane to the quarterback.
Yeah.
But he got cut within a day or two after setting the team individual record for sacks.
But that might have been the only era where they really didn't have a very dominant defensive line. Then they got back into when Millard and Chris Dolman and Thomas came in, and they've been kind of consistent. They've
got
at least
have.
One horse on that line ever since.
Now, very quickly, so we need to get to Ruth, but a lot has been made in the media, and it's just like they're almost like whining about Mike Zimmer and the way he's handled this Bridgewater thing.
He's not acting any differently than any other NFL coach.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What is different?
Yeah. Viking fans need to get off the ledge a little bit. If you're that panicky about...
It's not just the fans. It's the media, too. These radio guys, even Powers, are getting his undies in a twist over it.
I think he says some of this stuff just to feed... To feed it. Almost like this distracts the team from whatever, you know, whatever else they're planning.
It didn't make sense. I will say this, though. I like when Powers gets all worked up because he's very funny when he does.
Yes.
So him worked up is hilarious.
99 times out of 100, it's about the Wilds or hockey. So.
Yeah, so what he does, him with his undies in a twist is a good thing because he's very funny. If you haven't, you should look him up online. He's got some great columns
that
are very
funny. Yeah, he's sitting
around
a lot nowadays, so I think his undies are in a twist actually physically more often than...
If people don't know him or haven't met him, he's a great guy. He's kind of keeps to himself, but he's hilarious because I traveled on the road with him, and he's a lot of fun to be with.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Kevin Cusick, Jeff O'Brien, we will be back. Thanks again to Ed White and Jeff setting that up with psychic Ruth Lorden. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. It's like it's choreographed between Sam and Kevin in here. He's like punching out. He's like a conductor with his pen.
I don't get to pick out the music at home, but occasionally Sam is kind enough to let me pick the bumper music.
Well, you have good bumper music.
They're both giving me the finger up. Wait for it. Kevin Cusick.
I love that.
PioneerPressTwinCities.com, at the loop now.
You
Jeff O'Brien.
You should give me all my bumper business music ideas.
Hey, I'm introducing business and
I'm
leisure attorney
talking
Jeff
to Kevin
O'Brien.
About important things.
She has
I'm
her own
sorry.
Show going
yeah,
on there.
Jeff, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Well, sorry, Jeff. Okay, we have to because we got to give equal play. Yesterday we had Boz Boster wrote a book with John Gilardi, greatest college football coach in history based on wins. He has the most wins ever by a college coach, and Boz gave me a shirt, and on the back of it listed John's record against the Tommies, which is like 43-13 or 45-13. It also had the MIC, which is dwarfs that won the Tommies in that same period, and national championship for Zip. Now, tell me, as a Tommy, what were you going to say about your Johnnies, about your Tommies and the Johnnies?
Well, obviously, I like to focus on the present, and of course, the last
Here
couple years, St. Thomas has been quite dominant. I think last year we beat them twice, once regular season, once in the playoffs, and which. I have my favorite Johnny's joke is, how many Johnny's fans does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
Three. One to change the light bulb, two to reminisce about how good the old light bulb was.
I tell you what, that old light bulb was pretty damn. It shone bright.
No disputing that. No, he's a great coach. We just happen to be on that end of the rivalry, but
I know.
We just keep fighting forward.
And you are, by the way, talking about one of my two favorite coaches of all time, Jerry Burns and John Gilardi. And Caruso, present day, is my favorite. He's a great guy.
I love
Glenn
him.
Caruso. Now, Ruth Lorden is with us, at Psychic Ruth, on Twitter, ruthlorden.com. And tonight she'll be at the Medina from 6 o'clock. You want to set something up, you can give her a call. Now, Ruth, we're just talking about St. Thomas, St. John's. They have a great rivalry in the MIAC football conference. Who will have a better team this year?
Why do I feel St. John's is really doing it?
Here we go.
Mm-mm.
Well, because you got a Tommy here, and
here's my question: who is actually the better saint of the two?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I've been all in my angels and everything today because I'm taking all your advice. I put together my oil kit, for my making my protective potions. So, but I'm going to give them away free when people if they have a special reading, if they have the potion reading, they'll get one. Why do I feel that St. John has two of these big, like, kids that you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley? Who are their two little potential superstar kids? Because I'm feeling it has nothing to do with the coaches, no offense, but it's got to do this year with the actual talent on the team. And St. John has two winners.
Let me say that the Tommies will find out when they play this year. And I like both programs. But in fairness, but Jeff is here and he's a Tommy alumni, so he's heavy for the Tommies. But you know what? I just like good football. I don't care where it comes from.
I'm just thinking, St. John has some great kids. So, who's is Jeff? Why don't you just get your checkbook out and steal those kids away to the other school?
That's how it's done.
Yeah,
that's how Hillary would have done it. Hillary's donors.
I will tell you, there's not in the fall. Sometimes there's nothing better than MIAC football, no matter what the schools are. There's a lot of great programs around here, Division III stuff, where it's like pure college football still, and it's fun. It's fun to watch. And you know, the Tommies and Johnnies have a great rival, but there's other great schools like.
Well, I'm going to watch Shane's football. I want to go to
grade football.
Game.
There you go.
He plays Saturday, so we can't go to the Mayak games. And Spencer plays Thursday nights. Thursday
nights. Well, Saturday, where, when? Because I can go maybe.
Well, this Saturday they have a scrimmage at the middle school, and I think it starts at 9, but that's not a game yet, so that's
okay.
Not really when.
All
when
right.
The games start, we'll let you know, and then on for Thursday night, I'll let you know that, too, when Spencer is a starting inside linebacker.
Oh, yeah, well, I work at Thursday nights
for the
Medina. Freshmen,
so that's right. Well, I'll tell them to delay the game.
Okay.
They'll slow it down.
Fake an injury timeout.
Now, Spencer, you know, Spencer actually, I think he'll do fine because he's very bright, and until he gets a few concussions, that could be an advantage for him because he's fast and he's bright.
I don't want him ruining his violin hands.
I'll tell him to make sure that I keep telling him to wear more padding.
You know what he should do? He should mention that to the coach. Say, Coach, whatever we do, my violin hands.
I need to protect my violin hands.
And just to see the look on the coach's face. I want to see if Vince Lombardi was ever asked about someone's violin hands.
We'll have to ask. Well, I don't want to bring Vince in right now because we don't have a lot of time for him. We will bring him in, though, within the next week. Next Wednesday, Ruth, let's make a date. We'll start a lot earlier and we'll bring the coach in. We'll have Coach Lombardi.
He just said yes, but only if you're wearing a suit. He's not going to come in because people are dressed up nice. He's sick and tired of coming in when you're dressed in sloppy clothes. He wants y'all to show some respect.
Jeff has a jacket on and a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a button-down
sweater. He's talking to you.
I have on my good new shirt, and I have on a pair of nice shorts and expensive Red Wing shoes.
But you're not wearing a jacket. He needs to wear a suit. You need to wear a jacket to show respect.
Between you and Jim Thorpe and messing with my hair, not liking my hair. All right, Coach, we'll see what we can do next week. Ruth, how about that vibe of the day?
Well, it makes sense. The spirits
wait. No. Ask the coach about Jordy Nelson. Will he be healthy this year?
Yeah, he fakes it a lot. He's a faker. In my world, he'd have been healthy. I don't count any of those injuries he has. We didn't play them in my day.
That's all I need to know. Sorry about that. Now, please give us your vibe of the day.
The spirits are moving and grooving, and so are we. Peace, love, harmony, creative flow, even money-making prosperity. Now, please remember to eat right, whatever that is for you, and move from the waist down. It's important today.
Hey, I've just added another notch on my belt. I'm down like three or four belt notches because I had to add one, which I haven't had ever do. So
maybe to a belt in the regular department. I just got to say that.
No, thank you. All right, Ruth, thank you. Ruth Lorden.
That was cold.
RuthLorden.com, at Psychic
Good
Ruth.
Funny.
You're hilarious. You will be, and you can find that levity and Ruth Foolery at the Medina tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Go to RuthLorden.com if you'd like to book something earlier. Thank you. Thank you,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, do, and if you want me to, because then I'll make you your potion. All right.
Okay, thank you, Ruth. You get the protection, the protecting potion. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the loop now, which is leading with what?
Usain Bolt's on top today because it turns out his world record for one-night stands is also 9.59 seconds.
Okay, that's a good one. And now, will you somehow work in the photo of Hillary at a major fundraiser wearing
tomorrow,
her kimono?
Tomorrow is the Loop Truth Detector, and I can imagine perhaps the photo of the Hillary kimono might make the cut.
My mother had the very same, and this was like I guess you considered it a dressy thing, but my mother wore the same type of a kimono throughout my childhood years.
Well, Bruce Jenner used to wear it all the time back in the day.
It's amazing. I mean, she's got the things from the Mao collection, but this is
like the kind of thing she would have worn on a state trip to Thailand or something.
It's unbelievable. It's, if you look in at the Loop now, or look at the Loop in the Pioneer Press at this outfit she's got on. And we have business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for setting up Ed White. The Vikings and Chargers should be Hall of Famer. And he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's very good. I'm looking forward to meeting him on Sunday. Will you be in the press box with him, or where
will you be?
I have
no idea where we're going to be. I'm waiting to get our tickets, so I will let you know when we get there where we're going to be.
Well, Sam will scream.
You know where he'll be? He'll be in line trying to get in, because that's been the story of the whole thing.
Well, Sam screamed down from the third section, because my family, all my kids are going to be there. Because their mom and my bride, she's dancing with the Viking alumni cheerleaders on Sunday. And You know, I just want to give my heartfelt condolences to the women, the Parkettes, who will be picketing the game because they are not being invited in as former Viking cheerleaders. Now, technically, they're not part of the
Viking cheerleaders,
you know, squad.
Yes.
But they did cheer for the Parkettes when the Parkettes cheered for the Vikings.
It's a different organization.
Now, how far back were they cheering? In the early 70s?
They cheered 86. Into the early 80s.
Vikings cheerleaders started in 86.
They started in 84.
Well, everyone should show up
84.
Early because...
Oh, you're right. Mom started in 86. Vikings cheerleaders started in 84.
The one lesson now from three events they've had at the stadium is that it is ridiculously unorganized. You have to stand outside for hours, and then when you get in and you ask any of the employees, okay, how do I get to my seat, you get the, I don't know, answer. So it's very, show up early.
Well, then we all should get there, Sam. Game starts at noon. Maybe we should leave when your mom has to be there at 8 a.m. By the way, parking around there, Tom had said, Tom Bernard, that the meters, which are never on Sunday, $25.
Yeah.
And in a ramp, it's $40, right?
Pro tip from Ross Rahal, our music columnist, who was just covering the last two concerts there. The Fort Snelling park and ride.
Well, that's...
You take the blue line up there because it takes you right there. The blue line is so much faster than the green line. You park down there, get right on the train. The train worked great the last two concerts. It was terrible for the soccer game. But you're just paying two round trips on the train for like $7 total, and you're actually in your car going home faster than if you were somewhere near the stadium.
Well, you know what?
And again, the parking meters are $20, $25.
Okay, here's the thing, though. For my family with seven, it would be cheaper to park.
It'd be
$49 for the round trip.
No, what you do is the father figure drops the children off at the stadium, then himself goes down and parks the car like
what
a gentleman.
Are you, Daffy?
And then comes just saving money.
The problem is I can't fit seven in any of our vehicles.
But seriously, the Fort Snelling and also the Mega Mall, any of the park and rides down there using the blue line to get to the stadium appears to be the way to go. So I may go Sunday, depending. I got to be at the paper at 4:30.
I might have to call Uber.
I have to be able to get out of there and get to
I might have to Uber two or three vehicles to shuttle us in from the outskirts or the outer limits.
The benefit of being a chauffeur for an alum is they send you a parking pass.
There you go. You have to befriend some Viking alums, Bob.
Jeff, do you have a van that could hold another seven?
I do not.
Damn it. All right, we'll work on this in the next couple of days. Thank you again to everyone. Ed White, it was terrific. And thank you to all of our sponsors and listeners. We'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you.